Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and we are doing our first episode of the new year in 2025. We are concluding our mini-series on the women surrounding the birth of Jesus. But first, I just want to wish you all a very happy and blessed new year. We have great hope, great anticipation that God is going to do wondrous things in our lives. And so in this mini-series, and this is very timely that I'm speaking about who I'm speaking about today, because first we started off with Elizabeth, and then we spoke about Mary, the mother of Jesus. But today we are talking about Anna, the prophetess. And this is a message of hope. This is a message that I think will minister to many of you, despite your age. Now, do you believe God can still use seniors today? Oh yes, let me tell you. And in my own life, actually, Lord willing, next month I will be turning 60. So in some countries, that's considered as a senior. So ladies, if you are up there in years, let me tell you, this is a message of hope, and we will see how God still uses people that are advanced in their years. And if you are younger, oh, stay with me, because this is a model of how to live your lifetime through Anna the prophetess. Now, I'm going to talk about Anna the prophetess today, but I also have to talk about Simeon, because the two of them kind of go hand in hand. And even though he's not a woman of the Bible, it's good that I touch upon some of the great characteristics that he has that can bless us and teach us how to live our lives. So we will see in these two characters, again, this is a message of hope. This is a message for 2025, because they had anticipation and expectation. Is that what you have for 2025? And so this is a timely message. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to see how, yes, God uses seniors, because as we talked about Elizabeth a couple of episodes back, Elizabeth and Zechariah were well advanced in their years, and God chose them because of the fact they were so devout. God chose them. God chose Elizabeth to bear the greatest man ever born of a woman, as Jesus said, and that was John the Baptist. And so God used them. God blessed them. And we're going to see in this episode. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to see how God blessed Anna and Simeon. Let's start with verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, I just want to stop here. I just want to say that this is one event. The next verse I'm going to read, these two events don't go at the same time, and I'm going to show you why. So he was circumcised. That's one event. Verse 22. Now, when the days of her purification, referring to Mary, according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And we're going to stop right there, because I'm going to show you these were two separate events. There was circumcision at 8 days, and then the days of her purification. So that's when they brought her to, or sorry, brought Jesus to the temple, when her days of purification were completed. So what are the days of purification? Well, we have to understand that in order to do that, we have to go to Leviticus chapter 12. So I'm just going to quickly turn there. And let's go to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she will be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity. She will be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. So look at that. Just remember that 33 days, the purification, she continues with that. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. So notice it's different for giving birth to girls. We'll talk about that in a second. And when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. Verse 8, and if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her and she will be clean. Okay, we're going to stop right there so you will understand what is going on. So if she has a male child, she 7 days, there's 7 days, of course, and then of course on the eighth day, he will be circumcised, but she will for another 33 days have to go through purification. So 33 plus 7, those initial 7, how many days is that? It's 40 days. So Mary and Joseph went to the temple to dedicate Jesus at 40 days. He was circumcised at 8 days, but he was dedicated at 80 days. And another thing to note, it's very different for a woman who gave birth to a female. That would be 14 days, 2 weeks, she would be considered as unclean, and then another 66 days. So when you look at that, it's a total of 80 days. It's double the time, 40 days for a male, 80 days for a female. What else do we see in that scripture? We see that she offered atonement with a lamb. Now, the thing is, if that verse 8, that's why I pointed it out. If she's not able to bring a lamb, she may bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. Were Mary and Joseph poor? Yes, they were. They couldn't afford a lamb. This is another scripture that you will see just as we read and continue to read Luke chapter 2. Now, look at what happened. So I want you to understand this whole concept of purification. 40 days. At 40 days, Jesus was dedicated in the temple. So back to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, which we read, were complete, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Notice it says that. I want to stop right here. Notice it didn't say the lamb. Why? Because they were poor. So it specifically quoted that part of Leviticus where if they can't afford it, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So for those of you that think the prosperity doctrine that Jesus was rich, oh no, he had very meager beginnings as we see. So let's continue with verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Oh, he even said, I'm going to stop right there. He even said that this light was to the Gentiles, that Jesus, of course, originally for the Jews, but the Jews rejected him. And so a light to the Gentiles. And verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, which I talked about last time when I talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I spoke about this. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, but the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in from that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Israel. Oh, wow. So we stop right there. We see here, God is using two seniors again, pointing them out. Now, here is a man, here is a woman. They are not related, but they are extraordinary people. And God used them, two different stories. Kind of like we all have different stories, but God used them. And why did God use them? Because they were watching and they were waiting for the Messiah. And here, ladies, is where we see age is significant. God was trying to show us here through his word that they were devout, they were faithful, and because they ran the course, they ran the race, they went through their entire lives living for the Lord, consecrated, watching and waiting, God honored them. God honored them. And you know what? This is a wonderful model. So whether you're younger or older, this is a wonderful model of how we ought to live our lives, just the way they did. And so let's first look at Simeon. We're going to touch a little bit upon him because we have to. And then we're going to get to Anna the prophetess. But let's look how this verse describes him. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, what do we see? We see here, he was a man of Jerusalem. He was a Jewish man. And he was an ordinary man. He was not a priest. He was not a ruler. He was just an everyday person like you, like me. Just proving again, God uses the ordinary person, but he sees how we live. This is the important thing. And Simeon shows us how to live. The Bible says he was just. He was devout. He was just, which meant he was a righteous man. He lived righteously before the Lord. Righteousness and being devout, which speaks of godliness. Oh, this is how we ought to live. We ought to live godly lives. That is the greatest testimony. Yes, we can go to church. Yes, we can read his word, but are we living godly lives? That's a big question. Because sometimes, and some of us know also, we might know people that constantly go to church regularly. They are faithful in that. They know the word of God, but they're not living godly lives. He was devout. He was just. And also, he was concerned. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Excuse me. And what that actually means, the consolation means console, the comforter. He was waiting for the Messiah because Israel had gone through so much, through the exile with Babylon and all the suffering that they did in the Old Testament, but they've inflicted it upon themselves because they kept rejecting God. But they were waiting for the Messiah, and he was waiting for the comforter. The Bible says that. And not only that, he was full of the Holy Spirit. So how did he get full of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, as I said last time, was not prevalent excuse me, during those days. And sorry, I had to take a little break. I had to cut the video right there. I've been grappling with a little tickle in my throat, a cough for a little while, so I apologize about that. But let's continue with this. He was devout. He was just. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a godly example. The kind of example we need to follow, and that's why the Lord honored him. We see that. We know that Matthew says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Ladies, Simeon was pure in heart because of how righteously he lived. He wanted to live the godly life before the Lord, and he saw God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And he saw Jesus. He was blessed with that revelation. What a gift. What a gift to receive. What an honor God gave him. Why? Because he appreciated it. He appreciated because he was watching and waiting. And the Bible's always telling us to watch and to wait before the Lord. And this is exactly what he did. He watched and he waited. And he lived a life where he was satisfied. Finally, he saw the Lord. So much so that the Bible says in verse 26 right here, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Talk about a life of satisfaction. He said, Lord, now I can die. I finally saw the Messiah. You can take me. I saw what I've been waiting for all of my life. You can take me. Ladies, what have you been waiting for? Have you ever said to the Lord, oh Lord, please don't take me. I want to live until I see my children serve the Lord. Lord, I want to live until I see my children married, or I see grandchildren, or I see revival. Then you can take me. Then I will be satisfied. Have you ever said things like that before the Lord? And maybe perhaps you've received some of these incredible promises and you say, Lord, you can take me now. My life is satisfied. Well, this is exactly what Simeon said. He was ready. Why? Because he lived that righteous life the way we ought to live. And so that was Simeon. What about Anna the prophetess? Let's look and see. Finally, what the Bible says about her and their characteristics about her age and what she lived and went through. So let's look at this. Verse 36. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So let's stop right there. She was a prophetess. What does a prophetess mean? It means that she had direct revelation from God. God would speak to her. God would give her words. God would give her perhaps visions of what would happen in the future. And she would experience this. And Anna, her name means grace. Her name means favor. And just like Hannah in the Old Testament. One day we're going to talk about Hannah, but that's what her name meant. And oh, she was graced. She had favor. She lived up to her name. And what about Phanuel, her father? Her father means, or her the name of her father means face of God. Face of God. So think about this, ladies. That's what her father's name meant, but she clearly lived that. She lived this promise and lived up to his name in some sense because she herself saw the face of God. She saw Jesus. What an incredible gift she received. Now, she was also from the tribe of Asher. Asher was the eighth son of Jacob in the Old Testament, and Asher means happy. or blessing. That's what it means. And there we see, yes, she received the blessing. Yes, she was happy, even though we're going to see right now that she went through a difficult time in her life, and the outward circumstances that she went through may perhaps have indicated that she wouldn't have been happy. We're going to talk about that right now. Let's look at verse 26, the second half. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now, she was of a great age. Very interesting. You know, you can be of a great age, but you can still feel joy inside. Look what 2 Corinthians 4:16 says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that true, ladies? We are growing older as time goes by. There's no question. Our bodies are failing. We sometimes go through ailments, and the exterior is failing, but the inward should be renewed daily. And this is just it. The older we get, the closer we get to the Lord. It should be as that. We should be shining brighter and brighter, as the Bible says. As long as we are plugged in the Lord, as long as we are devout, as long as we are living for Him. And so this is what she was experiencing. Yes, great in age, but inward she was being renewed. Now, what can we say about Anna? Anna, she had obviously known sorrow, but she had not grown bitter. Now, why do I say that? Oh, she knew sorrow. She was married at a very young age. The Bible says she was a widow of 84 years. So she was married for 7 years. Now, either she was a widow of 84 years, which means she was 84 years old, or she was actually a widow for 84 years, which meant that, you know, she had to have gotten married at one point, maybe sometime between 13 and 20 years old. Let's say she was married at 13, because back then, you know, they got married at a very young age. So 13, you add 84 and 13, you get to be how much? 97. And then you add 7 years that you're married. And so 97 plus 7 is 104. So at least 104 years old, maybe older, because the Bible says she was of great age. So regardless, however old she was, the point was she experienced sorrow. Ladies, some of you that are watching may be widows, and you know the great sorrow that you go through being a widow, losing your other half, the bone of your bone, the flesh of your flesh. And there's great sorrow in that. And some of you may have lost a husband in your later years or your earlier years. But here Anna lost a husband 7 years into her marriage, which meant that probably sometime in her 20s and 30s, she was watching other friends and women having children and enjoying their families. And sometimes that can be a very painful thing to witness. And then later on, maybe in her 40s or late 40s, she saw some of her friends become grandparents, have grandchildren, and just watching all of that. And you know, that is a great sorrow, as she may have thought, oh, I missed out on a great part of life. And she was alone. You know, I think most of us out there, most of us can say that at some point in our life, we have gone through a great trauma, a great loss, whether it be a family member, whether it be, some circumstance, and a traumatizing incident. There's no question. I think all of us can probably raise our hands. Something that pained us deeply. And the thing is, I think Anna knew that you can't reverse trauma. You can't bring back a husband or a lost child or change an event in life that caused you so much grief and loss. You can't do that, but you can change, excuse me, your perspective on how you go forward. You can get bitter or you can get better. You can change your perspective. You know, when I was first married, we didn't have children for about the first 5 years. And at one point I was not feeling too well. I was getting heart palpitations, and I had worked in a hospital going through my university studies, and I worked in a hospital part-time, and you know, I had seen many doctors, and unfortunately a lot of them didn't have very good bedside manners. A lot of the doctors that I knew, I would just see that many times they dealt with patients like they were a number, like it was cattle. And sometimes I was just not very encouraged. So when I was going through what I was going through, I didn't know which kind of doctor I should go see. So a lady in our church, she was a medical secretary. She says, "Oh, you have to come and see my doctor." And her name is Dr. Cooper Smith, and she's a great doctor. And I thought, you know, I've seen a lot of doctors. I really don't know. What do you mean by great doctor? Oh, no, no. She will look after you. And plus, she's a survivor of Auschwitz. And I thought, Auschwitz? Really? Oh, yes. And she is absolutely great with everyone. So I thought, okay, let me go see Dr. Cooper Smith. And when I did, I told her the different things. She was a tiny little woman, a small elderly woman. She should have been retired, but she kept serving people. And what was interesting was that she was so sweet. She sat down and she says, "Okay, what are some of the things you're going through?" And I just kind of told her, "I have these really bad heart palpitations and some other things." And she thought, let's do a pregnancy test. And let me tell you, I didn't have any of the symptoms of pregnancy, but she said, "Let's just do it." And then when the test came back, she literally just took my hands and held them, you know, held my hands into her hands and held them tightly. And with warmth and with actual tears in her eyes, she said, "Let me be the first one to congratulate you." And I thought, my own mom, she was like a mother to me. And here with what I was experiencing, she was rejoicing with a perfect stranger, being in that moment with me. And I thought, this is the most incredible doctor in the world. Such love, such compassion. She saw the atrocities that nobody would ever really see in our lifetime, most of us, the kinds of things that she experienced in Auschwitz. And she learned to love and to serve humanity and to have compassion and grace. And I tell you, afterwards, my husband went to see her too, and because he was experiencing very bad migraines and asthma. And she went through her drawers there in the office, she didn't even prescribe him anything. She gave him full asthma pumps, full, not samples, but she would just bless him and give him medication. And I thought, where did this doctor come from? She was just absolutely amazing. Her trauma that she went through in her life, the loss that she saw, she didn't become bitter. She became better. And meanwhile, my husband Dino, at one point, he worked as a salesman, and he worked alongside a man who was also a survivor of a concentration camp. He had the numbers still tattooed on him, and he was scornful. He was miserable. He was mean. He hated everyone. Similar experiences, but two different kinds of outcomes. Bitter, and the other one, better. And so, ladies, when we look at the things that we have gone through, the pain that we go through, do we get bitter or do we get better? And when we look at Anna the prophetess, she could have been bitter all of her life staying home. But no, where was she? She was in the temple. She made herself useful. She turned her life around, a life that brought glory to God. And that's what she did. And so let's look at some of the characteristics of Anna. What did she do? It says here that in verse 37, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow. How did she overcome this? Well, let's look at this. She overcame all this pain that she went through in yesteryear. How? She was in the temple. She served with prayers and fastings day and night, night and day. And ladies, can I tell you something? If she was praying and fasting, was she praying and fasting for a husband? No. Was she praying and fasting for children? No. She was praying and fasting for others. Right away, you see that she had a heart for others right there, right where we see this. She was praying and waiting upon the Lord. You see, she never fell away. She never became faithless. She kept trusting and obeying. She was there in the temple. She was with her husband. What do you mean she was with her husband? Didn't her husband die after the first 7 years? Yes, he died after the first 7 years, but she was with her husband because Isaiah speaks of her husband. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54 right here where it says, verse 5, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." Oh, ladies, do you see that? Yes, she lost her husband, but her Maker is her husband. She was in that temple having daily conversations with him over and over again, just talking and conversing and praying and seeking God. That's what made a difference in her life. Ladies, if you have lost a husband, if you have gone through a trauma, know that your husband is right there beside you, your maker, and he is just waiting for you to tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. Speak to him. Pour out your heart to him. And the consolation of Israel, the one who consoles, will console you through all your pain, through all your troubles, because he loves you. And he loved Anna, the prophetess in the Bible, and that's why he rewarded her, because he was first in her life praying. You know, kind of like with John, in John chapter 15, what Jesus said, "Abide in me and I abide in you." There was that communion. There was that conversing and that conversation. What else do we see with Anna? Well, Anna was a servant. She was a servant. And that should be our aspiration for 2025, that we live with hope. We live with anticipation. We serve. How did she serve? She served day and night, night and day, with prayers and fastings. You know, the enemy would want you to think, oh, that's the least way of serving. But let me tell you something. You might be a senior that can't move and your legs are not really functioning anymore and it's hard to get out of bed and you're going through so many physical ailments. But let me tell you something. You can still be a servant of the Lord with fastings and with prayers, and he will use you, and he will give you fruit in your old age. Yes, these things shall happen. Why? Because when you pray and you fast and you are doing the greatest service you can do, you are taking the battles on your knees and you are crying out before the Lord. So please never say that you are useless. please never say, what can I do for the Lord? Anna did it for the Lord and she was rewarded. And this was a picture of lifelong commitment, of continuing to run the race, regardless of the trauma, regardless of the pain, regardless of what happened to you, regardless of what's going on in your body. God can still use you as long as you have breath, as long as you have a voice, which you do. Use it for his glory. Use it. And so praying, something that every senior can do. And what do we see here in verse 38? And coming in that instant. So Jesus was at the temple and the Bible says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. What do we see? She came in that instant. Listen, if you are watching and waiting, you are going to have oil in your lamp. And she had oil in her lamp, not like those five foolish virgins who said, hey, can I borrow some? Because why? They fell asleep. They weren't watching. They weren't waiting. But she was watching and waiting and came in that instant, oil in her lamp. Ladies, how important it is for us in 2025 to watch, to wait, to have hope, to believe, to trust, to know that God is going to do something great in your life, in your family's lives, in your neighbor's lives, in your church, in your community, in this world. God is going to do something great. Keep holding on. Have oil in your lamp. Watch and wait. And she did. And she saw Jesus. You will see Jesus. You will experience his presence if you live like Anna did. Oh, what a glorious testimony she had, Anna, the prophetess. And here, this woman, she had it rough in her life before that, that's for sure, but she didn't carry it. She didn't decide, well, you know what, I lost my husband, I'm just going to stay home. I'm just going to be a loner. I'm just going to be on my own and do my own thing. Oh, no, she occupied until he came to the temple. She occupied. Are you going to occupy? That's what she did. And not only that, she gave thanks. Ladies, can I tell you something? A bitter person can never give thanks. Can I say that again? A bitter person can never give thanks. Oh yes, all of these things may have happened to you in your life. And they may have been the most horrible things. But you know what? God's telling you, don't be bitter. Be better. Rise up. Rise up and worship the Lord. Give thanks. You can give thanks when you trust that God is working everything out for good to those that love him. You have to love him and he works it out for good. You have to love him. He has to be first, but you have to rise up. You have to come out of whatever took place and continue on being that beacon for the Lord. Look, a couple of episodes back, I spoke about Bathsheba. And if you remember with Bathsheba, she got pregnant in an affair with King David. And what happened to that baby? The baby was born, the baby fell sick, and oh, David did not want to lose that. He was praying and weeping before the Lord. But look at what the Bible says right here. Verse 19, 2 Samuel chapter 12. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. What does that tell you? He just lost a child. He was praying for that child. He was crying out to the Lord for that child to be healed. And oh, okay, it did not happen. That was not the Lord's will. But what did he do? Did he stay in his misery? Did he decide to be bitter? Did he decide, well, how am I going to go on with life? No, he got up. He washed himself. He anointed himself. He went to the house of the Lord and worshiped. Ladies, get up. From wherever you are at, from your pain, from your brokenheartedness, get up. The Lord is telling you, rise up. go to the house of the Lord, worship him. If you can't go to the house of the Lord, worship him anyway. Give him thanks. God is working it out. God has a perfect plan. God wants to use that pain and that brokenness and turn that trial into a testimony, ladies. Use that. Use that. Take this scripture and use it for going forward in 2025. This is a season of hope. Of hope. He wants to give you hope. He wants you to be a woman who is watching and waiting. Watching and waiting. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the comforter to wrap his arms around you and say, it's okay. I'm going to lead you to that promised land. Watch and wait, because yes, he is coming soon. And so Anna did not withdraw herself. She didn't become a hermit. She could have decided to lock herself in. And sometimes we do that. We become a shell. We withdraw ourselves. Listen, if you're going through pain, don't withdraw yourself. That's the enemy's tactic. He doesn't want you to be used. He wants you just to sit in a corner and do nothing and feel sorry for yourself and ask, why did this happen to me? God wants to use you again, as long as you have a voice, as long as you can pray, as long as you have a mind that can and a heart that can cry out to God. And even if the rest of your body is not functioning, God wants to use you to pray, to fast, to seek his face, to hold on to hope, to continue to cry out for your children, for your families, and for the people that are around you, to cry out for revival. He wants to use you. Don't go into a corner and be a hermit. He has a plan. Get up, wash yourself, anoint yourself, like it says in 2 Samuel 12, like David did, and worship the Lord and hold on to hope, for he is our hope. Because let me tell you something, ladies, even though Simeon and Anna were at the end of their years, they were not at the end of their hope. Can I say that again? They were at the end of their years, but they were not at the end of their hope. Some of you are at the end of your rope. Oh no, don't be there and don't be at the end of your hope. He gives hope to the hopeless, ladies, and all he wants you to do is be fixated on him, like Anna was. Like Anna was. Some of us who are older and we think we are useless, we just think, well, all I can think about is my health. And oh, is my health waning? And you're focusing on your health, or you're focusing on, oh, how am I going to have enough income to get by? Or you're just focusing about how I'm going to survive the grief of everything that's happening around me. Or you get even fixated with death. I've seen that some seniors, they just give up and they just say, well, Lord, just come and take me. No, as long as you are breathing, every single day has a purpose in God. So ladies, be encouraged. Don't give up hope. Anna and Simeon are classic examples of how to live life. Life where they are examples of living justly and being devout before the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit and looking for the consolation of Israel and being in the temple and being fixated on God, fasting and praying. And not only this, but I want to say one last thing about Anna. She was a witness. She told everyone, whoever was looking for redemption, she told them about it. What an example. You can be up there in years, but you can still be a witness for Christ. You can still tell others about Christ. Again, what beautiful examples of how we ought to live for Jesus. Anna and Simeon. So ladies, today, don't give up hope. Remember, this is a picture. Jesus was dedicated in the temple. And today, dedicate this year to the Lord. Dedicate this day to the Lord. Whatever you might be listening to this broadcast at another point of time, maybe not beginning of a new year, but might be in the middle of the year, whatever. The point is, now is the time to dedicate your life, rededicate your life to the Lord, to live lives just as they did. Because at the end, this was the end of their race. I am sure the Lord said to both of them, well done, good and faithful servants of the Lord. And so he wants to honor you. He wants to honor us, but we have to do our part. We have to do our part to make sure that we keep our eyes fixed upon him. And like Anna, give our lives over completely to the Lord. So can we just pray right now? Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Father, this morning or today, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for gracing us not only with another year, but another day. And Lord, some of us may have gone through traumatic experiences this past year or even in our lives, Lord, and we've had such a difficult time to rise up above it, Lord. But Father, we see in this story how Anna the prophetess, she was a prophetess because, Lord, you used her to declare your word. You were not done with her yet. She was a person that lived for others. And Lord, you are calling us to live for others. Lord, even if we are in a wheelchair, you can still use us. And so, Father, thank you for that. And Lord, forgive us for times where we have let time just trickle by thinking we are useless. Lord, this is a lie of the enemy, and we bind that in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you have given us this day as a purpose for your glory, so we can shine your light to others around us, our family, and be that voice to whomever we meet. And Lord, I pray for some of the women who have gone through traumas, something like Anna did in the New Testament. And Lord, I pray that this day they would lay down that burden, that they would lay down that pain, that they would lay down that hurt, and they would rise up and be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And that, Lord, they would go forth in power and in might and full of the Holy Spirit, just like Simeon was. And Lord, that you would use them for your glory, that you would use them, some of these seniors in their latter years, like never before, oh God. And so that, Lord, they too can say, oh, Lord, I have accomplished what you are calling me to do. I am ready to see you. And so, Lord, whatever they have prayed for, whether it be family or healings or revival, Lord, let them see it. And Lord, let them use this time to pray, to fast, to seek your face, because Lord, you are not done with us yet. And we thank you that you have graced us like Anna means grace. You have graced us with these days, with these years. And Lord, let us bring fruit for the glory of your name. And for younger people, Lord, who are watching, I pray, Jesus, that they would truly run this race just like Anna did, Lord, and not give up. And Father, let them look at this prophetess in the Bible as an example to live by. Father, we love you. We thank you. We always thank you for your word. And we don't just hear with ears that are closed, but open our ears, open our hearts. May we receive it into our spirit so that, Lord, today will be a productive day for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Can you give him praise, ladies? Praise God. And that's what Anna did. She gave thanks. She was not a bitter woman. And so we put away all malice, all bitterness. We put these things away. And we say, yes, Lord, fill us with the Spirit of God in 2025. Each and every single day, we will live to honor you. And so, ladies, thank you for watching this episode. I pray the Lord's richest blessings upon your life, upon your family's lives. And we are believing together. We are hoping together to see God work mighty miracles in our lives in 2025. Ladies, don't lose hope. He is our hope. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our all in all. And we say amen to that. Amen. And so till next time, remember, make each day count for the kingdom of God. Make today count for the kingdom of God. Go and bless someone as soon as you shut this off. Go and spend time with your husband, with your maker, when this is done. Love you, ladies. God bless you. And until next time, may the Lord just richly encompass you with his love and his mercy. Bye for now.